one escapes the wilderness on the way to the promised land. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. You know, a common heart cry around the world is for lasting peace. But in spite of our desperate pleas, peace seems fleeting at best. And internal peace seems disproportionately dependent on external peace. Where can we find peace? Is it to be found in the absence of conflict? Christian author Annie Dillard says, "No one escapes the wilderness on the way to the promised land." And in just a moment, Ken will introduce our guest speaker for today, who will address this subject in greater detail.
Thanks very much, McDaniel. It's a real privilege and pleasure for me now to introduce to you guest speaker, Dr. Ernest Chu, whom I've known for many years as an elder of Bethesda Frankel Estate Church. He's a respected and well-regarded historian by profession. In addition to being a preacher and teacher of God's Word, he also serves as the chairman of the Evangelical Fellowship of Singapore, as well as the vice president of the Bible Society of Singapore. Will you join me in welcoming Dr. Ernest Chu to the Times of Refreshing program?
Thank you for the privilege of sharing this time with you on Times of Refreshing. Last year marked the 400th anniversary of the publication of the King James Version of the Holy Bible. One of its most profound English phrases is found in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 7. "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Peace still passes or surpasses human understanding today. It is one of the biggest problems of the human race. It is a macro problem at the international level, where we see wars, conflicts, rumors of wars, news of wars. It is a micro problem at the personal or internal level. We may say that everywhere we look, peace is in pieces, in shreds. There are more peace breakers than peacemakers and peacekeepers. Yet the verse which I quoted and its context gives us the keys to finding peace. Peace with God, peace with others around us, peace in our hearts, peace that can radiate to communities and societies. Peace is a subject dear to my heart because I taught courses on war and peace in the university for several years. Of course, that was the simplest definition of peace. Peace meaning the absence of war. But today I want to speak to you about what the Bible teaches us about this peace. Now, first of all, the verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, tells us that peace can be found in a person. It is through Christ Jesus. Christ is the key, the master key to peace. The Apostle Paul prefaces the verse I quoted by assuring the Philippian Christians, "The Lord is near." Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Peace needs a peacemaker. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into this world to reconcile sinful humanity to God. He did this by dying on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And he rose again to become the Prince of Peace. Now, this is a description given by the prophet Isaiah about 700 years before Christ came into the world. And it's a beautiful description of what he came to do. Now, Christ's death brings pardon and forgiveness for believing sinners and peace or reconciliation with God. Paul tells us that having been justified, being declared righteous before God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ also unites believers from all races and nations into a new community of peace and reconciliation, the church. And indeed, Paul also talks about how both Jews and Gentiles, non-Jews, when they believe in Christ, are brought together into one body, one community, a community of peace. Now, secondly, peace is a process of searching and finding the causes and cures of our deepest problems. While the causes of social unrest are manifold, the basic cause is human sinfulness and self-centeredness. And this is manifested in all kinds of evil desires and actions. Now, these together bring alienation from God and enmity within and between persons and countries. The consequences are widespread: fears, anxieties, rivalries, conflicts, and wars. The last 100 years have seen two world wars and many other conflicts, great and small, causing millions of deaths and massive destruction. And even the so-called Cold War between the United States of America and the Soviet Union was not entirely peaceful a period. There were many other wars fought by proxy states in the period of the Cold War, from after the end of the Second World War right up till the fall of the Soviet Union. Now, at the spiritual level, the Apostle Paul teaches Christians not to be anxious over anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Only then, says Paul, can we experience the fulfillment of the promise about the peace of God, keeping our hearts and minds secure in Christ Jesus. Take note that prayer is a process, even a struggle to know and follow God's will. Jesus himself taught his disciples, his followers, to keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Now, such seeking prayer leads to finding the peace that passes all understanding. Peace in the Bible is more than the absence of war. It comes from God, who created order and life, and who alone gives us peace. And thirdly, then, God's peace brings protection and security to our lives. The biblical words for peace, shalom in Hebrew, irene in Greek, carry the meanings of wholeness and harmonious relationships, and are often used in conjunction with righteousness and justice. God's righteousness, God's justice. Only when we are in right relationship with God and humbly practice justice with mercy, will we discover true peace in heart, home, and community. In a modern translation, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Fourthly, peace must be our constant pursuit in both thought and action. The Apostle Paul goes on to instruct the Philippian Christians, finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. You will notice that Paul has moved from speaking or writing about the peace of God to talking about the God of peace. To practice the peace of God leads us to a personal knowledge of the God of peace, the God who gives peace. Now, St. Paul, the great missionary, knew from personal experience both the peace of God and the God of peace. When he first visited the Roman colony of Philippi in Macedonia, which is north of Greece, he had been falsely accused, severely punished, and unjustly imprisoned. However, when he was in prison with his friend Silas, they were singing praises to God, and then an earthquake occurred. It was, as it were, a divine accompaniment to their singing. And because of that earthquake, the prison doors were open. And though Paul had a chance to escape, he did not. But he talked to the jailer and assured him that he was still around. Now, the jailer was so impressed that he wanted to know the God whom Paul served. And he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." So we can see that despite the problems of imprisonment, Paul experienced God's peace. And through that experience, even his jailer came to faith in Jesus Christ. Paul was released and vindicated. Years later, he wrote his letter to the Philippian Christians about the keys to finding peace. He told them that he had learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. He knew what it is to be in need and what it is to have plenty. He had learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. The source of his strength was God himself. He could say, "I can do all things through the one who gives me strength." Finally, remember that the pathway to peace is through personal faith in Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah had promised, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." Now, when Isaiah talks about perfect peace, the Hebrew words are shalom, shalom. It's a double shalom. And till today, the greeting is shalom to you and The reply is Shalom. And together it completes not just a cycle of greeting, but a wish that both the receiver and the giver might experience such peace. Now Jesus fulfills that promise of peace. He assured his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Did you notice the repetition of the word peace? Jesus was using the Hebraic greeting and expression, peace, peace, shalom, shalom, to indicate the completeness of the peace which only He can give us and which we can then share with others. It is a peace based on God's grace, freely given and received by faith. As you place your trust in Jesus Christ, the peacemaker, may you receive and experience His peace today and always. May the peace of God, which passes and surpasses all understanding, keep your heart, your mind in Christ Jesus.
This is the message of good news for all the people in the world, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Thank you, Dr. Ernest Chu, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Join us again tomorrow when Kenneth returns to present part one of the program titled, God is Good. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road, Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments there or share some views with some of the other folks you see. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.